Here's a little story I like to tell about four bad brothers you know so well. They had a little segment back in history with Carmen, Yurko, Wildo, and Sylvie. That's right, motherfuckers, Crosstalk is back. But you can only hear it if you have this app. ESPN 1000 Chicago. Look on the Wildo and Sylvie, Carmen and Yurko. Uncut, uncensored, and never discreet. You will like this as much as Carmen likes feet. 30 minutes of talking shit amongst friends. Crosstalk unhinged. Let the show begin.
Yeah, what the fuck is up? It is another installment of Crosstalk Unhinged. I think we're going to see Trey Tunes and the gang out at Oak Forest Bowl on Friday. Nice. They've all said they are going to be there. We are cross-talking today. This is a three-man weave today, as you guys used to call it.
Yeah.
Because Waddle is on the golf course.
Fucker.
He is currently...
2 under?
I don't know what the score is.
He's 13 over par.
I was going to say, though, he's currently like kissing up to a client, I believe, to a partner. Yeah.
There's
with
a shock.
The boss and someone from sales.
Okay.
So he had this is a business golf session.
Business, my ass. Not in the link. But he's still doing the show with you today, right?
Yes.
They played early?
They had like an early
6 o'clock tee time.
6 o'clock tee time.
Where did they play?
They played at his club.
Yes.
So the powers that be at the radio station said, "Hey, Waddle, let's golf with a client. You host.
You hook it up.
You host."
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Well, Waddle's such a mensch. She's like, yeah, okay.
I can figure out
a way to do that.
Yeah. So their way. Do you have golf today, Yurko? We're recording this on Wednesday, by the way.
I am not golfing today.
Yurko played a lot last week. He had his member guest. He played 27 holes two back-to-back days.
I played 27 on Thursday, 18 on Friday, 27 on Saturday.
Oh. Wow.
And went with the glorious 18 on Sunday.
That's a lot of golf, man.
That is a lot of golf.
Yeah.
Too much.
Were you sore afterwards?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I had a massage yesterday. The massage was fantastic.
Oh, I bet it was. Panama
feels so
right.
Good.
Now, you have a person, right? You're not going on like Instagram and finding
Deshaun Watson?
That's what I'm asking, right?
I've gone to Massage Envy in the past. I couldn't find a masseuse that was suitable to my liking.
Yeah.
Then I ended up, a friend of mine recommended me a place.
I go to Elements Massage.
I don't go to Elements.
I used to go to Elements.
I'm trying to remember exactly what this place is called, but it's in a building and it's fine.
I would imagine.
Right. It's in a building. Yeah. It's got a room.
Uh-huh. It's got roof over
it. It's got some privacy.
Some privacy.
At Core Essentials is what it's called.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where I go now.
Deep tissue, right?
Deep tissue.
Yeah, me too. I'm a deep tissue.
Yeah. You have to. Yeah.
Plus cupping.
I've been cupped.
Yeah.
Now explain to the people what that is. It leaves you all bruised up and it looks weird. Well, does it really help? I've never tried getting cupped.
The easiest thing I could tell you is Michael Phelps.
Yes.
In the second Olympiad, not his first Olympiad, his second one, you saw the dark circles on his back. That was cupping. Now, what it's supposed to do is increase blood flow into areas that have diminished blood flow because the muscle fibers are crossed. So it's supposed to go ahead and pick up and separate dermal layers and invite blood into the area to go ahead and promote healing. So that's what the concept is, and that's what the theory is.
Can you be cupped everywhere?
I believe you can. Any place there's muscle going into tendon, I believe that you could be cupped. Yes.
I don't know what you're thinking about, Sylvie.
Listen, I'm wondering.
You can't be cupped like in your skull. There's no reason to cup your skull. It doesn't make any sense. And your kneecap. Why would you cup your kneecap?
Yeah.
Your ankle doesn't have enough skin or tissue to go ahead and cup that area. So as long as there's enough tissue there,
gotcha.
Buttocks to get cupped. Yeah,
you can
feel good on your buttocks.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the muscles in the buttocks.
Get the glutes.
Sure. Yeah.
The gluteus, right?
I never, when I get a massage, I always, get the glutes, the hammies, the hip flexors. You got those are the most important things, man.
The high hamstring kid.
Yeah.
And your quad, man. The quad's a big muscle.
Big muscle, that's
right. Quad's a big muscle, man.
Yeah. And I don't mind a man massaging me either.
What about a terrace minor or a terrace major? Would you like those massaged?
What is that?
Like the terrace mediocre, actually.
Oh, okay.
Then you got the infraspinatus and the supraspinatus in the shoulder. Shoulder's got a lot of moving parts in their muscles. A lot of muscles.
Yeah.
A lot of support muscles, ancillary muscles. Don't get a ton of work.
Mirko, I get the back of the head, right where the neck meets the head. Those are called, it starts
so
with an O.
So do I. Pay double for that.
What is it called? The occipital,
lobe.
The, something like that.
Yeah, back of your brain.
A lot of muscles back
responsible,
there.
Responsible, shockingly enough, for vision.
Huh.
The occipital lobe.
How about that?
You can feel it when they hit the right one, it attaches to the eye.
Wow.
And you could feel the pull on the eye if they do it the right way.
Geez. What are the rest of the lobes of the brain, since you mentioned
the Abdullah oblongata?
Abdullah oblongata.
The occipital lobe. The medulla oblongata. Yeah. The occipital lobe, the frontal.
Frontal, for sure.
Parietal, temporal. And temporal. There you go.
See, all five lobes of the brain right there for
I've always known I'm stupid, okay?
You're not stupid.
I'm stupid.
Listen, we're not going to argue with you.
When you have a kid, when you have kids, and they start learning facts, and then they start reciting facts that you didn't learn about until you were maybe a teenager.
Yeah.
You know, like Mason was talking about Big Ben in the UK the other day.
Wow.
And I was like, who told you this?
No kidding.
We were in Milwaukee. We were driving to Milwaukee. And you know that big, there's a clock tower there.
It's a clock, right?
Clock tower, yes. You're heading towards the city from Chicago. You're going north. It's on the right.
Yeah.
On the way back to Chicago, it's on the left. Heading as you head south.
Yeah. Clock tower.
And I go, Mace, look at that clock tower right there. He goes, you know, it looks like Big Ben, not quite as big as Big Ben.
What the
fuck? Well, how the fuck do you... I didn't say, how the fuck do you know about Big Ben? He goes, I know, Daddy, it's in the UK. I'm like, look at you.
Damn, dude, look at the big brain on Mason.
Maybe
good for
he's
him.
Watching European Vacation.
He could have been, yeah.
Big Ben
with Chevy Chase.
Hey,
yeah,
kids,
you never know.
Big Ben Parliament.
Yeah, we know, Dad.
Couldn't get out of the roundabout.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was Milwaukee fun? It seemed like it.
Yeah, it was great.
Good atmosphere up there over the weekend, it seemed like.
It was terrific. I was given warning signs from one Randy Birkin, who has been complaining a lot lately about parking in various ballparks.
Yeah, right.
He told me that it would be a disaster. It took us... By the time we got off the exit, there was no traffic going through Milwaukee. We got to Miller Park... Boom, we're in Miller Park. Then you're
it's
in a parking.
It's not Miller Park anymore.
American Family Field.
Yeah, yes.
So we get into the little parking line, 10, 15 minutes until we got into, not terrible. Right. I mean, like, I was thinking worse than that.
Right. So how about getting out?
We left early.
Oh, big shot.
No, wait a minute now.
Yeah, fucking
guy. What was my gripe with you?
Oh, because you're not a Cub fan, or you're not a Sox fan.
No, you're, again, nuance, Carm.
Yeah, all right.
What did I complain about when you left early?
I thought because I'm a Sox fan, I shouldn't leave early. You said.
I said you left in the top of the seventh with the Sox chasing. Why not stay? They're chasing. So look, the bottom is the most important. Why not leave after the bottom of the seventh? You missed a Vaughn
home
run.
We did. We missed an Andrew Vaughn home run.
And I think it was a scoreless game, or was it they were down one?
They were. I think he tied it, I think, with the solo
home run. Look, if you have to leave early, you have to leave early. I was just saying, you got to stay for your last bats there of that inning.
I'll remember next time I go.
Now, look. If the Sox are 4-0 and you want to leave early, you leave after the top because that way the runs aren't important. The outs are important.
Sylvie's
Do you
rules.
Understand where I'm coming from,
Mark? I get it. Sylvie's rules for going to the ballpark. Okay.
Nobody gives a shit.
Honestly, all right, we'll re-rack that. Get that shit out right there.
No, you keep all that. I love it, actually. You absolutely keep it.
So what's on your mind today?
There's really a lot happening here. You know,
Can I ask you guys while we're here, and since you blew Pat Boyle off?
Yeah, we blew off Pat Boyle.
I was looking forward to the hockey talk.
I know. The Biles talk is hot, but anyway, go ahead.
I'm confused as fuck with the Blackhawks.
Me too. I'm with you.
No, we're going to start calling him. This is from somebody who I know who gave me the line. So it's not, no plan, Stan.
Yeah.
Like, one minute it's this thing, the next minute it's that thing, the next minute it's now what they're doing now. What the fuck's the plan?
I don't know. I'm with you. Like, what the plan I thought was, like, rebuilding, but... That didn't really go anywhere, and now
Wait a minute. He just said they were rebuilding a few months ago.
That's true.
What do you mean it didn't go anywhere?
I don't know.
They didn't even have a chance to try
this. This is like Gar and Pax doing, like, you know what? We're going to get young, and then, like, hey, Rajon Rondo's here, and so is Dwayne Wade. It's like, wait, what the fuck happened? That's what's going on now. It's like, well, we're going to rebuild it up a little. And I guess in their mind, like, a 26-year-old defenseman is part of a rebuild who's been good, but we're not sure if he's still any good, and he's worth $9.5 million a year. Like, none of it makes much sense to me. You could have sat and waited and went out today and signed Dougie Hamilton, who's maybe a couple years old. I'm sure he is a little bit older than Seth Jones at this point, but he's also better. and he might not even cost you as much. Like, you didn't have to trade for him. You might not have had to give him $9.5 million, maybe something close. I'm sure he's going to get something in that range. But, like, you could have done that. What, you don't check in? You don't do due diligence somewhat with Marc-Andre Fleury? Well,
that baffles me.
All of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute, he's not going to come here now? I don't know what I'm with you. I don't know.
You're trading for a Stanley Cup goalie. You're trading for a guy who just won the Vezina. He has said publicly, if I don't play for Vegas, I would like to retire.
Or go back to Pittsburgh.
Why wouldn't you check in with his agent and him before you make the deal? Dude, look, we're looking into this. We're close. Do you know, is Mark in on this?
You know the first thing we said yesterday when it happened? We're like, hey, let's get on Eddie because Eddie coached him. Eddie's watched all of these games. Like, Eddie has maintained a little bit of a relationship. Eddie O works for your fucking organization. Like, wouldn't you, like, through some back channels, be like, Eddie, can we, I mean, like, don't you work, don't you work every angle? I think you're right, Sylvie. Like, this is what our plan is. Like, let's go ahead and do this.
I think this is also kind of a shot at the Knights. I mean, he's upset that he found out via Twitter. I think he's upset. This is your plan. You're going to get rid of me. Get me off the books. Blow it out your
keys. I think you could be right. I think, you know, he's 37 and... You know, I don't know what it all
it's
is.
It's like Dikembe didn't want to come to the Bulls. Yeah. And the Bulls accommodated him, right. Brought him in, got rid of him.
Kind of knew
right
that.
Away.
Yeah, right.
This is what's happening right here. He doesn't want to come here. He wants to leave.
They trade Zadorov today. So all they have left for Panarin is a third round pick. And look, like, I was wrong.
And that's
about
the best player they had.
Yeah. And like, I was wrong about that trade. I can admit that. Fine. We're wrong a lot of the times. I'm a dickhead on the radio. Doesn't matter if I'm fucking wrong. Like, when you're the organization, you can't be. And like, they were really, really wrong. And you're left now with what exactly? You swung and missed on that. Sod didn't work out. What's the word I'm looking for?
The reunion.
The reunion. Like, it didn't work out the way you thought.
They fucked up Sod twice.
Yeah, right.
They
exactly.
fucked up the first time when they had to trade him, right?
Yeah. You had to because the dad was kind of playing hardball a little bit with them. The dad was, I think, operating as the agent or something like that.
It was really weird.
And Stan got pissed. And he's like, you know what? Fine. Fuck off. Yeah. We're going to trade him to
Columbus.
We're
going to trade you. And then, of course, what Stan does best is he likes to grab all the former Hawks.
Like Kenny Williams.
Right. And this,
let's get all our old guys.
Carm, this reminds me of the White Sox. What did Rick Hahn say right before the rebuild? He said, we're tired of being mired in mediocrity. Right? All the years of getting Adam Dunn. All the years of getting LaRoche.
Yeah,
all the years of patchworking it together for maybe one more run.
James Shields.
Look what it did to you.
James Shields. Yeah. Good call, Yurk.
Look what it did to you.
And that's the Tatis trade. This is what worries me about the Blackhawks. That all we're doing is wasting time, like we did with the Bulls, until they're good again.
And I think, like, a lot of it is very desperate because they're realizing you got 2 years left with Taves and Kane, and maybe their plan is we got to do whatever we can to try to squeeze one more, like, 7 or 8 seed out of a season out of them, and then pop in the playoffs with some championship medal. Like, if Fleury decides to come here and play, let's say he does, maybe Stan's thinking, okay, you got the Vezina Trophy winner who's got a couple of cups. We got Taves, we got Kane. We've got Seth Jones, who's okay, you know. I still don't think they're a playoff team, but maybe they're thinking, let's sneak in as an 8 seed, and then we know anything can happen. We got championship medal, and we can pop one. It's far-fetched, guys. I don't have a good answer for, like, exactly what the plan is. I don't think they know. I think they're throwing darts right now. That's what it feels like. Again, they've got no move clauses.
You
got
to get bad. Doesn't matter. You got to get bad. We're going to be bad, guys.
But you're
everybody's going. We're going to be bad. You guys need to go someplace else.
I don't know, man. I think it's easier said than done.
Now you can't trade two of them, though.
No. Well, you can trade Kane.
You couldn't get a
box. You could trade Kane.
You couldn't get a box of tissues for Johnny Taves right now.
Again, they've got no move clauses anyway. And, like, try selling that to the fan base 4 years ago. Now, maybe that shouldn't matter, but can you imagine a couple years removed from that dynasty, like if Taves and Kane were gone? I think it's a little bit easier said than done. And I'm not saying you're totally wrong. You were right about Devin Hester. And that'll start up a whole nother fucking conversation.
No. Yeah, we're going to Canton, aren't we, next year?
Yeah, we are.
Is that the first year eligible?
Yeah.
Are you driving the bus to Canton?
I wish you guys luck.
You're going. You're coming with us.
Oh, I'm not going at all.
Yes, you are. We'll have a great time. Stop it.
Wait, you're going to boycott Devin Hester getting inducted?
I can't lower the bar that far.
You're full of it.
We can't lower the bar.
You're coming. I'm going. Like, I don't think special teams.
You're going. You've been just as hard on Devin as you're
not hard on Devin. I don't think special teams players belong in football's Hall of Fame. It's not being hard on Devin. Devin was a special teams player.
They all belong. If he's the greatest football,
he's the greatest returner ever.
You don't play. You know who belongs to be in the Hall of Fame? Peanut Tillman belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he does.
There you go.
He absolutely does.
He's probably not going to make it. But Devin
he
is.
He should. If you really, like, that's a good discussion.
McMichael belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Like, again, two guys that if you really dug and you, like, these presenters are so vital as opposed to baseball where you have the idiots sitting on their couch filling out 10 names. Half of them don't even cover baseball anymore.
I know.
At least these guys are in a room. And then each guy has a representation to explain. And Dan Pompey has done a great job recently. Don Pearson used to do it for a lot of the guys he covered. He saw them firsthand. Hey, look, by the way, did you guys know? Take a look at Ray Lewis's takeaways. Take a look at Peanut Tillman's takeaways. Mm. Peanut Tillman dwarfs, I believe, Ray Lewis's takeaways.
Wow.
Like, you want to see an impact. You want to see a guy who trademarked a whole revolution. A whole revolution of a new way to get rid of the ball is not just hitting a guy, but it's actually physically punching the ball.
The forced fumble.
Right. Yeah. The peanut punch, Carm said.
Specifically, yes. Peanut punch.
And then, like you guys said with Mongo, you know, look at the sacks from the interior there.
Crazy.
Look at what he did with the other guys inside to spring Singletary all the time to become a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll ask you three questions about Devin Hester.
Oh, boy. I can't believe I brought us down.
Three questions. Is he the greatest kickoff returner in NFL?
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Returner.
I asked you a specific question. You don't get to rechange the question.
What the fuck is this, Jeopardy?
Simple question. Is he the best kickoff returner ever? The answer is no. He's not. They changed the rules in the middle of his career. They didn't change the rules because of him. They changed the rules for safety. Second question.
I said they changed the rules.
Second question.
It wasn't for him.
Second question. Is he the greatest punt returner of all
time? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Now give me a yes. Do you want to change that one to fit your
narrative? I will say he's the best returner of all time.
I'm with Sylvie, believe it or not. I say the returner. What's the third question?
In the best returner of all time, did he have the best touchdown percentage per return ratio in NFL history?
I'll say no.
Now, here's the catch, Yerk. Uh-huh. This is the nuance we were talking about with Peanut Tillman. Uh-huh. Half the time, they didn't kick it to him because they were so scared.
They had to strategize. That wouldn't help
punting.
Nobody ever did because Mel Gray was never back there. They didn't strategize against Mel Gray, did they? Do you think that Devin Hester was the first guy they kept balls away from?
The best guy. The most impactful guy.
That is so disgustingly wrong. It's unbelievable. I expect that from you.
That's what I expected.
You don't need that kind of shot.
That's unfair.
No.
I expected
you don't
from
need
him.
That. Argued he's like a gentleman.
Got it.
No. Does it argue like a gentleman?
Argue like a gentleman.
I'm lucky he hasn't kicked me in the balls yet.
I won't. Touchdowns per touch. He's going a different direction. For every 32 returns, you've got one touchdown.
Who's the greatest?
The greatest is Travis Williams.
Oh.
Out of Green Bay. You don't know who he is. Why?
No, I remember Travis Williams.
What year did he play?
He played before you, right?
Late 60s, early 70s.
He did play before Yurko.
Yes.
You were right.
Yeah, once every 15 touches, he scored a touchdown in a return game.
We had Sexy Rexy as our quarterback.
Why was it
different? Do you know what those extra 10 to 20 yards every punt when they kicked it out of bounds because they were scared of him did for our offense? How it flipped the field? There are things you can't make into a stat that Devin Hester impacted the game and helped his team.
It's still.
Did you get credit for exciting the crowd too?
It's still a small portion of the game. It's not a third of the game.
I know it's not a third of the game. People need to check their math.
Not even remotely.
We know it's not a third of the game.
In 5 years of his career, he didn't even score a touchdown. In 5 years of his career, he didn't ever.
Listen, I think Devin's not a Hall of Fame wide receiver. He's a Hall of Fame special teamer returner.
That's my point.
But there
in
are.
Five
you tell the
years,
story. Why can't you tell that
years,
story?
In 5 years, he didn't have a touchdown returning. What kind of impact was he making?
every field time position. They punted the ball.
Field position. Awful.
I'm actually.
Argument's awful.
And you know what? Gale Sayers might have been the best.
I remember the stupidity I heard out of Deion Sanders' mouth when he was trying to negotiate a contract.
Oh, that's because it's his guy.
Well, I understand what it's going on. My point is you got to fight the narrative.
Right.
It's the same guy. Oh, he's Deion's guy. Devin's got 1,000 guys up there that want to say he's a Hall of Famer. DNA. And you got to fight each and every one of them. That's what I've got to do. Yeah, goes, well, how do you put a value
he
on it?
He loves fighting
something
me, too.
That nobody's
he loves
ever
it.
Seen.
He's been chomping at the bit for that. Especially that when Waddle's not here.
Yeah, you know, easy. Does he? Can he start at wide receiver?
No.
He did start at wide receiver, though.
Then you don't pay him like a wide receiver
that's
either.
That's not his fault, though. No. That was a fucking Jerry Angelo fuck up. Yes. We go out, we finally get our first good quarterback, okay? And we protect him with who? And we have him with who's his number one receiver?
Oh, Jerry.
Like, Jerry? Jerry's like, oh, we got Cutler now, our job's done.
Here, Devin Jerry? Hester.
Moosen.
Well, that was later, though.
No, Moosen was early. Moosen was with
Moosen
Rex.
Was Rex, yeah.
Moosen
yeah,
was Rex. On the Super Bowl team.
Yes.
Sylvie's right.
It was a young Johnny Knox.
The Devin Hester.
It was Devin.
Was Bernard Berrien gone?
He was gone. Berrien was gone.
You know,
you're right. Sylvie's right. It was like here.
Marcus Robinson.
And Jay might have still ended up being Jay.
Way
oh, Marcus
long
was way gone. But Jay might have still ended up being Jay, but you're right. Like, here's this shiny new toy. Hey, go throw to Devin as your number one wide receiver.
Can I bring up one? I don't want to go down to the rabbit hole of Simone Biles because you guys talked a lot about it.
Yes, we did.
And it's a very polarizing thing. And I'm all for mental health. I always talk about this. Mental health is huge. I just want to say, while we're on the topic of Cutler, all the people who are out there defending Simone Biles and saying it's cool and she's doing a great thing. And Jay Cutler fucking was hurt. And people couldn't wait to bash his ass, saying that, quote, he quit on his team.
Do you think it would have been the same reaction today? That was 10 years ago.
Well, it's because of the Simone Biles is loved.
Yes. And Jay's
Jay
not.
Cutler
that's a good
wasn't.
Point.
And people couldn't wait to get on Twitter. Like, what is Mo Jones-Drew saying today?
Ripping
is he ripping Simone Biles?
Right. It's harder to rip her because she is blonde. What's Mark Schlereth
saying?
You're right. Yeah.
That's all I want. I want it even for everybody then. Yeah. If we're gonna say, and Cuddy again tried. He went out there with it. He did it in the first half.
Right.
He suffered an MCL injury that Steph Curry missed a couple weeks of the postseason with.
Right.
But we were told that unless you are carried off the field, you're not able to leave a game. I want to know if those same assholes are saying the same thing today.
Make it even. I'm with Sylvie.
Exactly 10 years later.
Yes.
About Simone Biles.
Yes. You're right. And that was an injury. That was a physical injury that was going to impair his ability to play effectively.
Right, and maybe try. And again, about the safety issue with Simone Biles. If she's in the air and she doesn't know what she's going to do, it could be catastrophic, as people say. Jay Cutler playing on a bad knee, trying his best. If his legs aren't working correctly, that could work its way into a more catastrophic injury because he can't protect himself.
Yeah.
So, like, I know it's not exactly apples to apples. I want every fucking person to apologize to Jay. Now, look, I got into it with Jay over some other things. Yurko could attest to that about performance. But that was the dumbest argument I've ever been on the air for.
And it was like 3 weeks long, remember?
3 weeks long, and the national guys, they all couldn't wait. Yeah. All the former athletes, you had to carry me off on a stretcher.
MJD.
Yeah, Roenick, I think, went after him, too.
I think he did, yeah.
It's when Twitter was still fairly new.
It was. You're right. It's 10 years ago.
So I want to get off that.
Good. Get it off your chest.
My chest.
Good.
And I can't say it the way I want to on the air later.
Say it now. Later today. Tell everybody to fuck off. Exactly. Can't say
all those assholes.
Can't say that later.
You want to talk? What do you want to talk?
Cubs Sox as we wrap this baby up. So this is it. Trade deadline's in a couple of days. Like, more and more, I'm sort of getting maybe slightly excited that the Sox are calling the Cubs a lot about Craig Kimbrel.
I'm surprised you guys were talking about. You think so?
So Passan said it to us last week.
Yeah.
And then somebody, I'm having a little back and forth about the trade deadline with somebody I know from MLB. And he's like, hey, they should be asking about Craig Kimbrel. And it's like Chuck Garfine today. We asked him. He's like, yeah, they should be. I mean, and I'm more and more excited about it. Like whenever it was first broached, maybe a month ago, we were like, well, yeah, but they've got Hendricks and he's going to want to close. And it probably doesn't make much sense. And then the more you think about it
And the more Passan says it or other people kind of connected to them, they'll be like, yeah, the Sox should be calling. There's no reason why they shouldn't be calling about Kimbrel. Pay the price. Take a swing right now. You got 3 months. Go for it.
Like, would you start? I need Crochet and others. I heard you guys talking about.
Crochet's interesting.
Like, I heard you. The Cubs need starting pitching. He was projected as a starter when he first. Where'd he go? Vandy?
Vandy. Fucking pitching fan.
Right. So, and he's left-handed.
Yes.
I Crochet plus others.
Would Sheets not do it for you? Like, if it was Sheets and pick your prospect.
I don't know.
What about Sheets and Kelly? Like, would that be?
Is Sheets a guy? That's what I mean.
It's a good question.
He's very good right now. He's been good. Yeah. But I don't know what is he projected to be.
Very good question. I mean, would I be willing to give up Crochet in that? I think I would. If I'm going to I really do. And
Kelly, Sheets, and Kopech.
No Kopech. You give a go. You give a go.
I know.
Jump
I heard
in the lane.
You yelling about Kopech.
Fucking guys asking for Kopech.
And then LaMelo brought up the point, like, he's as big of a weapon as anybody going into the postseason.
You're not taking Kopech off. That'd obviously be a no-go. The idea is you go Kopech, Kimbrel, Hendricks. And, like, your chances, I think it improves your chances enough, like, where you'd want to do it. Even if it cost you Garrett Crochet.
I went different. I went Kelly, Sheets, and Lopez. That's the play.
Kelly Sheets Lopez.
I'll take Lopez 98 miles an hour.
I would probably do that.
He hasn't found it though for a while, right?
He has. You
bring him a new address, change of venue.
Tommy Hotovy will change him.
Hey, at least he's got the weaponry. He's got the speed. Better than anything the Cubs have.
Yeah, they're a bunch of soft tossers.
Yes. Here's the biggest. You give him something different.
Here's the biggest obstacle for the White Sox. I think the Dodgers need him badly, and the Dodgers have a better, deeper farm system. I think the Dodgers are at a point here again with Kenley Jansen. He always seems to figure it out, but they might be looking right now. The timing might be such where they're like, fuck, Kenley's, we don't know what we're going to do. I think they're going to put everything they can into getting Craig Kimbrel, and I think their system is a little deeper and better, and my gut tells me the Dodgers win out.
Carmen, would you be scared because the last time Kimbrel was in a pennant race, he got demoted in the middle of the postseason by the Red Sox?
Fair point.
Or was that just a part of his downward spiral for the 2+ years that we saw here in Chicago, and now he's finally fixed what was bothering him for multiple years?
He looks fixed to me. I mean, what do we always say, Sylvie? Like, sometimes guys have bad years. They have bad stretches. He had a bad stretch at a bad time, and it looked bad. But he looks as dominant as he's ever looked, and I think I would trust that. I would not be too scared of it. If it comes back to bite the Sox in the ass, so be it. But I would not be scared of it, no.
And then I want to just bring up what you said. I've been on board with this, too. Contreras, sign him.
It's like a sign him now, right, Sylvie?
Catching is always wanted. Even if you sign him and in a few years you have to trade him because of your situation, catchers are – think about – you went through the good catchers in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Go through the bad catchers. There are like 20 of them. Yeah. Every team is always looking for an offensive catcher. By the way, Contreras can also play some outfield. When he first came up, he played left field. So,
I forgot about that. That's right. That was 16, right?
So think about Yachty has done it for a long time. Buster Posey, you brought up today.
Yeah.
How old is he? Contreras can catch for a while.
Rendall's in his 30s. Look at how, you know.
Yurko brought up about his pitch framing. But remember, the robot umps are coming.
I think
so. Not happening.
He doesn't think it is, but I think
Think the robot umps are coming?
No, there have been horrendous strike calls in the minor leagues with this system. If it's not 100%, they're going to stay with the guys.
Even so, Contreras does enough and has proved it over a long enough sample that he's worth paying. And, yeah, I brought him up on the show earlier today because he ranks where Grandal, Realmuto, Posey rank. I mean, like, those are the three highest paid catchers in baseball right now. And historically, since 16, like, he's there with them. He's in the conversation in the top five of the most productive catchers that we've seen in just about every metric. You can go new school stats, old school stats, eye test. Like, Contreras checks the boxes to me.
And I'm not going through what I went through this year, next year with another guy.
Exactly.
Take care of it now.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
All right. Great show, right?
Yeah, stuff, I think boys. So. You know, Yurko got off his chest Devin Hester bullshit.
Bring it up. Bring Devin Hester up until he goes in the hall. I will always be the guy that sits there and says, why?
Hey, I'm still taking the bus ride to Canton.
Yeah, let's party.
I mean, I'm still a Bears fan. I love Devin. I do. I'm not trying to.
Maybe we can find that little breakfast nook we found there.
It was delicious. Do you remember how good that place was?
Unbelievable.
It was fabulous. No, I'm up for the bus ride again. Yes, let's do it.
We ate at TGI Fridays when we were in Canton.
Jeez, we found a great place. Yelp, man. What did we do before the internet? All right, the four of us will be back next week together, I think, right? It was just a weird schedule.
Right. Because why?
Tell your friends, like Sylvia always says, tell your friends, tell your neighbors.
Yeah, and also, if you're listening to this before Friday, we're going to be at at Oak Forest Bowl on Friday, 2-6. You guys are going to be out on Friday morning
Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills, down the street from Hallis.
So there
breakfast.
You go. Yeah. The people to the north, go see Carmen and Yurko for their show on Friday in Vernon Hills at Buttermilk.
Yep.
And then for the people south, come see Waddle and me 2-6
That'll
Friday.
Be fun at a bowling alley. Have a good time. All right, we'll see everybody next week. And as always, why don't you go fuck yourself, Tommy?